This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week. This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
When we examine this and dig deeper into how this all began, you had mentioned that some of the civil litigation may have been the embers that kind of started this. I mean, walk me through. I mean, we're just theorizing here as to how this happened or how it got to this level. But this wasn't just, oh, hey, there's a lawsuit against him over here. Let's go raid his homes. There's a lot of steps that would have had to been taken and information that they would have had to have had to get a federal warrant, to have a federal judge sign off on this to go raid his house in two different parts of the country. I mean, how would that have worked from the embers to what we saw the other day?
Yeah. So how that would have started again is one of these individuals. And of course, my just an educated guess is Rodney Little Rod Jones, you know, who was his former producer. And really the detail and the allegations that he alleged, as I said, ran the gamut. And I think he went to federal authorities on the criminal level, HSI specifically. People ask, well, why not the Bureau? Mm-hmm. You know, why not some other federal agency? HSI actually has a division. Remember, they're under Homeland Security that was created after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And they have a particular division that is set up specifically for human trafficking cases. So it, like DEA, concentrates on drugs, ATF, explosives, and weapons. The Bureau oversees all of it, meaning has jurisdiction over all violations, but we have letters of understanding with different agencies. And so HSI has really taken a bit of a lead on the human trafficking aspect, in large part because, you know, this, they are customs, essentially. That's what customs became. Customs and Border Patrol kind of merged into the HSI name. And so a lot of human trafficking occurs or begins outside of our borders where individuals are trafficked here. So it makes a lot of sense. I know I've had so many questions regarding that. So what I think happened was this individual went to HSI or maybe even the FBI, and then the FBI referred them to HSI possibly. And at that point, the agent who got that case, what I would do if I got it, first of all, I would look over each of the allegations. And as an FBI agent, and it's quite similar with all the agencies, you have to predicate a case before you open it. So popular belief is you can just walk in and the FBI is going to say, oh, okay, I'll open a case based on what you say. You have to predicate it. So they would have created a memorandum. They would have done some due diligence to see if the information could be corroborated. Remember specifically some of what Little Ray said was that he had photographic evidence to support his allegations. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how they were able to predicate the initial opening of this case. Then once it's open, then you have the ability to utilize all your resources to have agents assigned, to conduct, to do subpoenas, to open or to start communications with the prosecuting office, and to look at all videotape and other information. You can also run what we call PIN registers, which is looking to see what in real time communications are happening between people. You can grab cell phone historical documents to start hooking together people that he said were in specific communications with each other. And so you start your investigation. And one of the places I would start too is going to victims, Tony. Victims that were alleged beyond Little Ray. In other words, some of these individuals that were supposedly sex trafficked, if you will, brought into these homes by individuals for the purpose of having sex, particularly the minors. Mm-hmm. So I have to believe that there's probably a lot of people cooperating in this case.
Without a doubt, it's a case that just, it spans so many different people in so many different places. It's really kind of shocking. There is there's
got his hands full.
There's so much with this case. The sex trafficking, we're talking about drugs as well. We'll talk about his drug mule in a moment. Obviously he's been arrested, and been charged in the past with, weapons violations and having weapons that he shouldn't have had his hands on. This is something, I mean, it just kind of blows the mind. Someone that has, you know, had such success in life, really has all the money that one could possibly need or want. Why go down this road? Why? I mean, is that the answer though? It's because of the excess that he has in life that you just keep searching for more. Then you get to such edges of what's acceptable in society that then they start teetering into these dark areas of things like sex trafficking and all the drugs and all of that.
Well, there's no parameters really on his life. And there's no accountability.
Yeah.
If anybody comes forward and alleges, you know, rape, which has been alleged, mm-hmm. You know, by his former wife, and sex trafficking and bringing in these sex workers for these parties and sex with minors, he just pays them off. And so, you know, it goes quiet and they, you know, leave out into the sunset with the money. And I think what happened in this case with his former producer is that wasn't enough for him. I think he was truly, Little Rod Jones I'm talking about, was angry. Mm-hmm. When you just read the allegations, you could tell he was keeping book.
Yeah.
I call it keeping book. He was preparing himself. And I think he felt like he was truly disrespected. And in that culture, to disrespect one can bring some very serious wrath. Out on the streets, it can get you dead. And in this realm, it can get you sued and you know, your secrets can be revealed. Now, I'm not saying I believe everything he said, but, you know, I would certainly be looking at it with a fine-tooth comb because this isn't one of these, Tony, where they say, well, you know, there was this big party this one day. What day? Oh, well, I can't remember, but I know it was in like maybe 1996 or so. You know, that is not this. This is very specific. He names a lot of people. He names A-list celebrities. He's very specific about who went out and got who. He talks about young men that were also abused, men and women. And then, you know, you have all these tapes that many of us have seen. I'm going to continue to post them because I like to have everybody have the full picture of like Usher, Justin Bieber, these just creepy encounters and videos that are made that seemingly it's just so supportive of this narrative. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, and looking at some of those videos today, I mean, it's kind of, it's creepy. It's very creepy. I remember seeing the Bieber video years ago. I remember seeing the Usher interview on Howard Stern years ago. You know, the reaction I think was very much like, well, you know, there's stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And that seems to be where a lot of it was left, but it was kind of a different era too, where that sort of stuff just kind of happened. A lot of this was pre-Me Too and things of that nature. Not like the people who were moral weren't moral by any means, but it seems like there was a lot of this stuff like right in front of everyone's face, and everyone's just like, well, you know, he's going to do what he's going to do. He's Diddy.
I think a lot of it too just comes down to the video evidence that it would seem might exist here.
Yeah.
And they're going, I mean, the whole reason to do this warrant, I think, was because of the video evidence. They wanted to get a hold of that phone. They knew where he was going to be, and that was very planned. And then hitting both of the houses simultaneous, they don't want anything destroyed. You know, the allegations are that, and the intel, I should say, is that he has videos in every room, and that much of what he did was videotape this alleged wrongdoing.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, oh my goodness, you know, that a picture speaks a thousand words, and so do videos. And if it's true, it's going to sink him. There's really no defense anyone can come up with unless they try to challenge the search warrant affidavit and the probable cause that was established. But I'm sure that is rock solid, because a prosecutor and an agency are not going out on a limb. This is not John Doe down the street. Mm-hmm. This is P. Diddy, a billionaire, that they're going after. And I just think that I truly believe that enough people were just angry with him, mm-hmm. disrespected by him, and they had had enough. And no amount of money they weren't going to take it. They want him to go down.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.